Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Message Program. This is Dan with my lovely lady and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom to you as well. Let's begin by honoring our Abba Father for His unending love, His grace, and His mercy.
Abba Father, You are our El Shaddai, and we humbly honor You and thank You for Your grace and mercy and all our blessings, too many to count. We lift up to You these recent prayer requests and for our unsaved loved ones. Continue to send Your warring angels to fight alongside Israel as they continue in combat against their enemies. We pray protection over the remaining hostages with a soon rescue back to their family. We pray for the lukewarm Christians and the backsliders. May they leave the outer court quickly into the inner court of Your temple while yet time. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
So here, Hunter Biden was found guilty on all three gun charges.
At most, he'll get about a year in jail out of a possible 25. Then again, he is Biden, so we'll see. But the sentencing date will come later. And we should remind the listeners that Israel will celebrate their Pentecost beginning at sundown tomorrow through Thursday, even though the scriptures say it should always be on a Sunday, as we detailed last month.
Leviticus 23:16.
Mm-hmm. But we didn't detail the fact that it also has a well-known idiom of that day associated with this feast called the first trump. So we will talk about that along with the other two trumps after a little news.
Well, Israel had a little victory over the weekend.
Yes, and happy to say, with the help of U.S. intelligence and the IDF infiltrators, the infiltrated in civilian clothes, and that played a big part in the rescue of the four living hostages, I might add, and that was on Saturday. And it was a complex operation amid ceasefire talks that really, right now, aren't going that well in spite of what our government is throwing out there. These hostages were held in two separate Palestinian homes.
Therefore, above ground.
Yes, just north of Rafah rather than in underground tunnels. And Hamas gave these Palestinian civilians guns to watch over the hostages, proving many civilians will and do help Hamas.
But sadly, they lost their IDF commander.
With that said, if the IDF had not been nearby in Rafah, as Biden said they shouldn't be, the hostages might not have been rescued at all.
Good point.
Today, Blinken is back in the Middle East to keep trying and to also float the idea of going around Israel in a plan to release, they say, just only five of the hostages.
Only five? That's not good.
But bottom line, Hamas will not accept any deal that omits a permanent ceasefire with the removal of all the IDF. While Israel's conditions for ending the war have not changed, the destruction of Hamas military and governing capabilities, and the freeing of all hostages and ensuring that Gaza no longer poses a threat to Israel. The notion that Israel will agree to a permanent ceasefire,
which was phase two of Biden's plan.
Yeah, which actually should be phase one.
Mm-hmm.
So before these conditions are fulfilled, it's just a non-starter. And another point is about centrist Benny Gantz of Israel's war cabinet, who just resigned, stating Netanyahu is mismanaging the war effort. The government still has 64 seats of a needed 61 to stay in power.
Well, you know, but the margin is thinning.
Yeah, many believe Gantz was more of a leftist.
And he did visit the White House a few times.
He did, just a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the Biden administration had been relying on Gantz to force an acceptance of any deal. But then a White House official expressed disappointment that he hadn't endorsed that other proposal. But there's the question. And why does Biden and his cronies ignore the fact that Hamas leaders openly say they intend to go on attacking Israel until it is destroyed, which flies in the face of any permanent ceasefire.
You know, it's insanity. They need to let Israel just do their job.
At the same time, Biden obviously rejects any expectation of Hamas being destroyed, and he's probably right. They can always just join another group or just change their name. Besides, we all know that until Messiah comes, there can be no peace.
They can only try to curtail it.
I agree. Meanwhile, the war on the northern front continues to heat up more every day as Hezbollah sends more drones, rockets, and guided missiles at Israel's northern area. And of course, fighting continues in Gaza, and apparently, although slower than originally planned, they're making some progress.
There has also been increased fighting in the West Bank.
Yeah, thanks to Iran, who is transporting weapons to them across Iraq and through Jordan, which borders with Israel, after the Jordan River, of course.
Houthis are still at it, too.
Yep, they are, in the area of the Red Sea and the Atlantic, by shooting missiles at all foreign ships until they say the war in Gaza is over. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Netanyahu did accept an invitation to address our joint session of Congress on July 24th.
I'm sure Biden and the left are not happy about that.
Likely not.
We must speak about the BRICS nations.
Oh, for sure. You know, that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, who joined together in unity about 15 years ago.
Yeah, their goal was to take down the West.
Unfortunately, there are now more than 40 additional countries that want to join the BRICS nations immediately. It's interesting that 97 countries will participate in the BRICS 2024 games, and that starts tomorrow, and it goes on for about 12 days, of course, hosted by Putin in Russia.
Which are similar to the Olympic Games.
But here's the really bad part. BRICS is planning to uproot the U.S. dollar from the world's reserve currency and replace it with local currencies. The United States deep state is trying aggressively to stop Chinese banks from funding this arrangement.
But unlikely.
Well, because at this point, the global majority of countries, also known as the Global South, will be joining this de-dollarization party as well.
This is so not good.
You know, there is proof that we actually covered 10 years ago, and it's still up on our website, that the original founders of the Federal Reserve arranged the sinking of the Titanic to rid themselves of the elite naysayers, which just all happened to be on that ship. So, anyway, this will not stand well with the Federal Reserve. And as our dollar diminishes, Americans can expect an erosion of our quality of life. Russia is already on the verge of unleashing a new blockchain-based payment system to handle BRICS trade. Once implemented, that new system could deliver a death blow to the Western world order.
Need more info? Go to dollardemise.com.
Yeah. So let's leave the news portion with some more good news, since we already mentioned the release of the four hostages. Once again, let us remind you that God is still in control, and he sits on his throne. And souls are being saved.
And backsliders are recommitting.
Yep. You might have seen on Saturday in Times Square, surprisingly, there was a Christian rally, and they sang a lot of songs, some of the old favorites, and they reported that some of the people that were just walking down the street were really moved, and so they joined in.
Yeah, they witnessed salvations and recommitting backsliders.
And lukewarm Christians repenting for their sins of Christian laziness. And they hope it's going to go nationwide, even global. But if you want to join the effort when it comes to your state, there's a website you could check out. What is that, honey?
FreedomCabinet.com.
Okay, thank you. So now is the time to take advantage of hurting souls who want to fill that void in their life because evil will keep increasing and become more bold. However, there will always be that growing remnant that recognize the times and are looking for our Savior to return.
And that's where we come in.
Yeah, every Christian should be working toward developing the kingdom in whatever calling God blesses you with. So stop being a Laodicean and do your job for Jesus.
Amen. Okay, you can easily contact us by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are greatly appreciated, which will add you to our mailing list for newsy updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your continued learning pleasure.
Thank you, honey. Before we talk about the first trump, let us remind you that when we return after the tribulation with Jesus, that in Revelation 19:7, we are called his wife.
So obviously, a wedding occurred in heaven.
Yes. After he calls us up with the shout of a trumpet. In fact, that event or rapture has the idiom called the last trump, which is also an idiom for Rosh Hashanah, which is also called the Feast of Trumpets, occurring every fall season after they blow 99 shofar oat or shofars. Hence, at the 100th or last trumpet, Rosh Hashanah begins to memorialize the creation of man.
Easy to see why the Feast of Trumpets would use the expression, the last trump.
It really is, and very important to understand this particular expression used since before the first century, because today there are some famous Christian authors and end-time teachers who do not know this Hebrew phrase, and therefore are giving false scenarios as to what the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15 could mean, as in the book of Revelation, surmising therefore that we are here for some of the tribulation.
So not true.
Therefore, because of that, we will go over the particular idioms that concern three specific appointments of our Lord for the newer listeners.
Or a review for the others.
Yes, because it's very important. So there are three shofars or trump idioms. Either word is fine to use. But they are descriptive for three of the seven feasts, called the first, the last, and the great. The first trump is associated with Pentecost.
Why?
Because on the very first Pentecost,
which we read about in Exodus 19,
is when they received their law. This day was the first time God blew the shofar, as we read in verse 16. You can see that yourself in your concordance that there are no trumpets listed until Exodus 19. Called in Hebrew a shofar or a ram's horn, but not a silver trumpet. Therefore, it took on the phrase, the first trump. And when spoken by Jews in Israel, always refers to Pentecost.
Especially in the first century.
Yes, when Jesus walked, and that is the historical memorial for Pentecost, which is 50 days after crossing the Red Sea.
Then comes the last trump.
Also called a shofar, and again is associated with Rosh Hashanah, meaning head of the year, as it celebrates the birthday of the world, but more specifically, the creation of Adam on Tishri 1. 100 blasts of the shofar are blown, so when the last shofar is blown, it essentially starts the new year.
So, the last trump idiom became a synonym for Rosh Hashanah.
And used often. Therefore, Paul knew that, which is why he attached the prefix last in 1 Corinthians 15:51. That was the extra mystery not before revealed in 1 Thessalonians 4, where Paul just wrote Trump of God, which, by the way, was written before 1 Corinthians 15. And that's when he reveals the mystery. So what is the mystery? Well, he adds the word last to Trump. This is a huge clue for us living in the very last days. But let's read it in context some. Here's his exact words, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52.
Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Okay, here it comes.
And the last trumpet.
At the last trumpet.
For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Again, the last trumpet is an expression for Rosh Hashanah. They go hand in hand. And now you know it too, because Paul is giving a clue to those who study Yeshua's heritage. Okay, so the first trump is Feast of Pentecost. The last trump is Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets. Now, the next and final idiom is called the Great Trumpet and is always associated with Yom Kippur.
Especially in the year of Jubilee.
Leviticus 25 says to be sure and blow it on this day. So since that year of Jubilee was questionable, they always blew the shofar on Yom Kippur, calling it the Great Trump. So with that knowledge, let's clarify Matthew 24, where Jesus gives a condensed overview of the seven-year tribulation, where he begins with the signs to watch for, which, by the way, match the six seals and the four horsemen of Revelation 6. Then in Matthew 24, verse 15, which we know is in the middle of the tribulation, we see the Antichrist does his abomination of desolation.
Which means he sits in the Holy of Holies and declares himself to be God.
Jesus then says, when you see that, flee down south to the mountains because the great tribulation has begun.
Meaning the last half of 3.5 years.
And we know from Revelation 12 that they do run, and the beast called the dragon chases them, but is stopped by an earthquake, so he turns back. And then scripture says, which is an eye-opener, it says he goes back to make war with the rest of Israel, who also have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is how we know all Israel is saved before the end of the first half of the 7 years. And because we've read the Old Testament, we know that it's the war of Gog and Magog when they recognize their Savior, Ezekiel 38:23.
So that puts that war in the first half of the tribulation.
Yes.
Okay, back to Matthew 24.
All right, in verse 29, we see the second coming of Jesus returning from heaven. Now the end of the 7 years of tribulation. In verse 31, we read about the great trumpet sounding. That tells us Jesus returns on a Yom Kippur in fulfillment of that feast, which reads,
and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet to gather his elect.
Let me say it again. This is a huge clue that Jesus will return at the end of the tribulation on a Yom Kippur to fulfill that feast as well, literally. Since Rosh Hashanah was fulfilled 7 years earlier, literally, when he called us up into the air to meet him. Then we also see that it's the angels that gather up the righteous elect, the sheep from the tribulation, like the 144,000 and the tribulation saints that make it through. The unrighteous goats are left for the judgment of the sheep and the goats.
Explained in the next chapter, Matthew 25.
Yeah. Saints, connecting all the dots means you must not take anything out of context. Always use other scriptures to interpret and confirm. And then knowing the customs and phraseology of his day, as you can see, is hugely beneficial. So now, when you hear someone use Matthew 24, verse 31, because of the word elect, to say we are here for the tribulation, explain who the elect are by showing them that Israel too was called the elect, as in Isaiah 45, 4. Likewise, there is an elect during the tribulation as well.
Yeah, it's a synonym for the righteous.
And while you're at it, tell them about the three trumps. You can do this, church, and if enough of us speak up about these gold nuggets, we might have less teachers teaching falsehoods. Let me add, too, that to deny a pre-trib rapture is to rob a Christian of the blessed hope, and as a consequence, rob them of rewards, because they are not anxiously looking for him, which is the only way we can get the crown of righteousness. I think we should read that. Let's read that in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8.
Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
And let's also read from Hebrews 9:28. That's a good one.
So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, to those who eagerly await for him.
By the way, that Greek word is apektakomai, number 553, and it means to expectantly be looking.
He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation.
That real word for salvation is soteria, number 4991, and it means to rescue or to deliver. Think about this important fact. The post and mid-tribbers are not looking for Jesus. Rather, they are looking for the Antichrist to come first. So their reward will not be waiting for them when we all get there. A mid or post-rapture is totally unacceptable and against what Scripture teaches. And you who know the truth need to defend it. Don't be passive or think it doesn't matter.
Because it does matter for their rewards.
But as riled up as I can get, we must keep a loving tone, but standing tall, because again, it is our blessed hope and a tremendous witnessing tool for the lost who deep down really do want to go to heaven. Show them the way to escape what is coming. Just say the prayer of salvation and you will escape. Luke 21, verse 36. So how about you? Do you have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now. Jesus is your Savior who has totally paid your debt for your sins. Grab it right now. Unless you prefer to pay the debt for your sins yourself. Of course you don't. But again, it's always your choice where you want to spend eternity. God doesn't send anyone to hell. You choose whether you want to go there or not. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, you're going to prosper in many different ways. Shalom till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.